Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, good evening. Welcome in. Royals drop this one in extra innings. 6-5 the final score. This one made me feel something tonight. I got to be honest with you. Interested to see how you're feeling after this one. I think I know how you're feeling. Well, depends on how old you are. It depends on your memories of 2014 and 2015. You know, how old were you in 2014 and 2015? How fresh are your postseason memories? How much do you remember September of 2015, the second half of 2014? Basically, what I'm wondering is this your first real playoff push as a baseball fan? Now, there's a lot to get to, but let me give you the phone number right out of the gate. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Text line is there as well. I see where you want to go, text line. 913-586-7610. Yeah, that one made me feel something. It was fun. That was fun. That was a playoff chase type of night. At least it was for me. The ups, the downs, back and forth, watching what's happening in Cleveland between the Guardians and the Orioles. Sure that the Royals are going to win. Sure that the Royals are going to lose. Back and forth, up and down. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're diving off bandwagons tonight, not the team's bandwagon. I know you're not doing that. I know you're not foolish enough to do that. And, well, for those in your life that are foolish enough to do that, I can't imagine they listen to this show. But I'm talking about diving off the bandwagon of fill-in-the-blank reliever. Because if we've learned anything over these first 112 games of the season, shoot, if we've learned anything since Wade Davis struck out Wilmer Flores to secure the title in 2015, if we've learned anything, it's that we'll never see the likes of Wade Davis, Greg Holland, Kelvin Herrera, HDH ever again. But that was a fun night of baseball. I know the Royals lose in 11 innings, but that was a fun night of baseball. At least it was for me. Again, I want to know where you're at on this Saturday night. Because to me, this is fairly simple. Yeah, that was a tough one. It's always tough to lose in extra innings. But that was a highly entertaining 2.5 hours of baseball. I don't come away from this game disappointed in any facet of this team. I mean, Michael Lorenzen went out there and made an outstanding first impression. The bullpen, I understand. I understand that you wanted more from fill-in-the-blank reliever. But the Royals' bullpen, from Bubich to Urseg to Sam Long, it got the job done tonight. I understand Bubich allowed that inherited runner to score, but Bubich recorded 3 outs. You know, Sam Long looked outstanding. Lucas Ersig once again looked untouchable. No, the Royals bullpen didn't go a perfect 5-for-5 tonight. I don't know how often we're ever going to see this Royals bullpen go a perfect 5-for-5. Regardless, this is the group, ladies and gentlemen. Now, maybe an Alec Marsh can come up and help out and replace a fill-in-the-blank reliever. But this is the group. 913-586-7610. Let's go to the phone calls. All right, listen. Offensively, scoring one on the road in extra innings is normally not going to be enough. Royals had chances there in the 10th and the 11th to put up a crooked number. Now, they did their job. They made sure they walked away with at least one. But let's not act as if the Royals offensively were a juggernaut tonight. Now, robbed of what should have been a run in the 4th inning because of a rulebook double. But the Tigers aren't the White Sox, okay? We can at least say that. It's not embarrassing to lose to Detroit in this type of fashion. They're not the White Sox. That's how I'm feeling coming away. That was an entertaining ball game, and the Royals met their standard. The defense was solid. The base running was outstanding as Dairon Blanco rips another big bag. You know, Bobby wasn't clearly the best player on the field, but Bobby came through when you needed him with that game-tying sack fly in the 10th. So pitching, defense, team speed, and Bobby Witt Jr., those things were once again on display. So you let me know if I'm wrong. You tell me if this 6-5 extra innings loss was anything other than a disappointing finish to a great night of baseball. All right, let's go to Cole in Olathe. Cole, you're hitting leadoff. Go ahead.
Okay, Vern, so there's going to be a lot of people, I'm sure you've looked at social media, and, you know, a person like myself who seems to live on Twitter probably too much than I should, it feels like whenever the Royals lose, people freak out more than when the Chiefs lose. And that's just kind of the nature of baseball, is you're going to lose baseball games. And to me, I think what this game came down to was the idea that you can score more than one run, and you have to score more than one run in extra innings. You hit on it. But as a visiting team, with this ghost runner rule, you are put at a major disadvantage. And so I thought that you look at the top of the order when the Royals have Freddie Freeman, Bobby Witt, and Vinny coming up. If that ball gets by Parker Meadows in center field, he had an outstanding catch. If that ball gets by
him,
that's at least a triple for Bobby. And so there was a lot of plays that the Tigers made. So I think this game was more about what the Tigers did than what the Royals didn't do. And there's going to be a lot of people that call your show tonight and say that Lucas Ersig should have been pitching in the 9th inning. But I am going to stand up for Q before that even happens, because the middle of the order was coming up for the Tigers, and you put your best reliever in the 8th inning in a 2-run lead in the biggest spot in the game, and then you put the guy with the second-best stuff in the game in the 9th inning, and it just didn't work out. So before people want to call and complain about that, I'm just going to make my stand and say those were the two right moves. So I'll listen off the air.
Well, I don't have anything to add, Cole. Outstanding start to the show. An outstanding leadoff hitter, Cole from Olathe. Speaking of the leadoff hitter, Freddie Fermin made his first start in the leadoff spot tonight. He unable to match what Cole in Olathe did as Freddie went 0-for-5, including a strikeout in the 11th inning. Thankfully, Blanco steals that base and picks up Freddie. Great point. Cole's 100% right. Bobby Witt Jr. Laced that ball to center field, and Parker Meadows might not make a better play all year as he's fresh off the IL. Yeah, outstanding play. He doesn't make that catch. Bobby's either scoring on that play or certainly going to end up in scoring position, and I have no doubt about it that he too would steal third base and find his way in to score another Kansas City run. And thank you for making that point about Ersig. I already see Andy in Midtown asking why Ersig didn't close things down in the 9th. Cole, you are correct. The 2-3-4 hitters due up in the 8th. That was the highest of leverage, in my opinion, and certainly in yours and in Q's, it seems like. You bring in your highest leverage reliever for the biggest moment, and I'm with him. Shut him down there, And your next highest leverage reliever needs to come in and get the job done. Hunter Harvey did not. This to me is... This has nothing to do with Matt Quatrero. Nothing to do with the coaching staff. Hunter Harvey didn't execute. Royal still had a chance to win the game. And James MacArthur didn't execute. Royals lose 6-5. Let's go to Steve in Shawnee. Steve, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how you doing?
Great, buddy. How are you?
All right. Hey, I just wanted, first-time caller, I love your show. I just wanted to say that I'm sorry that Bobby didn't extend his hitting streak tonight, and I think Lorenzen did a great job starting tonight. What I was really calling about was just to complain about MacArthur and Harvey. I know Harvey's new to the team, but I think those two in the bullpen are just pathetic. I mean, I just really don't have much else to say. I'd just like to hear what you have to say about them, and I'll listen to you off air. Thanks, Vern.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call. I'll tell you this. I would much prefer Hunter Harvey in that spot in the ninth inning than James MacArthur. And I would much prefer James MacArthur in that spot in the 11th inning than Chris Stratton. Honestly, I think, I don't know if I would say that. So Stratton right now, of the eight relievers, to me, I have him number eight. Yeah, MacArthur may have fallen to seven tonight. I can't deny that. Will Smith had been holding it down in the seventh spot, but yeah, that might now belong to James MacArthur. Now, does Hunter Harvey fall in the totem pole? Yeah, I mean, he does in my power rankings of relievers. But the power rankings of relievers is always fluid among a fan base, among a post-game show, even oftentimes among a coaching staff. Yeah, Lucas Ursig right now is the top dog, no doubt about it. Now, James MacArthur was the top dog. He was the closer, and then you brought in Hunter Harvey, and you know, for the most part, he put up zeros. Sure, it would get bumpy at times, but Harvey was putting up zeros. So once you make the decision of, we need an upgrade, MacArthur's not the guy in the ninth anymore. You're going to give Hunter Harvey the opportunity. And you saw what he did with it tonight. 0-2 splitter in the middle of the dish is, I mean, destroyed by Bly Madrese. A home run, 422 feet, and just like that, a 3-1 Royals lead is cut to a one-run lead. And then a fastball up in the zone to Zach McKinstry on the seventh pitch of that bat. He gets Javi Baez in swing mode. Javi Baez is always in swing mode. And on the sixth pitch of that at-bat, a splitter down and in. Javi's ready for it. He rips it up the left field line for a game-tying double. Three rockets off of the bat of Detroit Tigers off of the stuff of Hunter Harvey. No, he wasn't good. He had his opportunity to close it out. He fumbled it. Who do you go to next time? Sam Long? To me, Sam Long was shown tonight to be the number two right now in that bullpen. I want solutions. I understand who you're disappointed in. Yeah, Hunter Harvey's disappointed in Hunter Harvey. James MacArthur's disappointed in James MacArthur. We all understand that. But do you... You've been watching this team now for 112 games or for the better part of 112 games. Do you see better options elsewhere in the bullpen? Different ways that this team, this coaching staff should navigate the final 50 games of 2024? I appreciate the phone call. Sam Long, by the way, ERA in the low twos. He's allowed only one run over his last nine games, and he's put up a zero in 20 of his 24 appearances this season. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Blake in Overland Park. Blake, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. I'm just going to put this into perspective. So I went to the Brewers game. We blew it. We had two outs. MacArthur gave up that home run. But all of his blown saves, if you add up the math, we would be 20 games above 500 right now if MacArthur wasn't our closer.
No.
And if you think about it.
Oh, stop.
You're saying
cost him eight games?
No, five. Five games.
Oh.
Or like okay. at well, least like 18 or 19 games above 500.
Okay.
But if you think about it, though, like the wild card seating, we would be like comfortably sitting.
Okay, well, we're not. So let's not whine about it. I mean, there were other things in those games. It wasn't all James MacArthur's responsible for five games. I mean, that's silly. You know, Bobby Witt Jr.'s war this season is like seven. So Bobby's been responsible for winning this team seven games. You can't tell me that James MacArthur is as bad as Bobby Witt Jr. is good. I don't buy that for a second. Blake, I appreciate the phone call. Let's go to John in Overland Park. John, you're next up on the postgame show.
Hello. Hello, Vern. Hey, I don't often disagree with you, but tonight I think I do. And I honestly think we mismanaged the bullpen tonight. I personally was shocked when I saw Harvey coming in the ninth. And I know he's been kind of, you know, he hadn't had a clean inning since he's come in, and I was shocked to see him coming in the ninth. And I do.
Who were you expecting?
Well, I think Urseg is the pitcher that we want to pitch the ninth. I think that's what's coming.
But he pitched the eighth. I agree, but he pitched the eighth.
I know, and he looked good, and he's pitched two good games. I think that's what's – and maybe it costs us tonight. Maybe this is the night that it takes us to realize it. But that was one thing. The other thing I was really –
Well, you haven't said who you wanted to bring in. You said you were floored that they brought in Harvey. You haven't told me who you were expecting to see.
No, but I think no, but I would have thinking MacArthur in the ninth over Harvey. But my other problem is that I would have brought Bubich back to pitch the 11th inning over MacArthur. I think Bubich as a starter can come back and pitch multiple innings. I fully expected Bubich to come in to pitch another inning, and I was shocked when he did not. I think that, and maybe that's you know, bad thinking on my part, but I was surprised. But I think we had three blown saves tonight, and that was really a really tough loss to take.
Yeah, no doubt. I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much for the phone call. Let's go to Jake in Kansas City. Jake, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Sure, Ned. Hey,
what's up, Jake? How you doing, buddy? I'm great.
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate you. This team has been so amazing this year, right?
What no doubt, say? Yeah, I mean, they're historic.
What's going to be even more historic is when we go to the playoffs and maybe go to a World Series and win another World Series. I mean, it's a long track to do that. But we need to be as a town. We need to be so excited about who this team is, right?
Well, the town's plenty excited. Yeah, no, that you can check that box. We're past that, buddy. Yeah, you don't need to worry about that. They're excited.
No,
that's why people are calling this show on a Saturday night.
Vern, how long have you been here in Kansas City?
12 years.
Okay, you're talking to somebody that's been here for 36. So. Let's don't talk over somebody that's been in Kansas City for longer, okay?
All right? Jake, thanks for the phone call, buddy. I appreciate it. That opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. Royals fall in 11, 6-5, the final score. We'll take a quick timeout and get back to your phone calls after this.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Now delivers, and a swing and a liner down the left field line, and that drops for a hit. Over to play it is Valade. Blanco comes in and scores. The Royals retake the lead. It's 5-4 here in the 11th inning. And as you can tell, the crowd loves it.
Oh, that's great. Steve Stewart on the call, as heard here. I missed that. Oh, that's terrific. Great job. Quentin Morris back there at the studio. Great choice. Again, man, I'm sorry. I understand. Oh, we're angry tonight. No, we're in a bad mood. Royals lost. Yeah, listen. The five-game winning streak came to an end. The business trip rolls on. One more tomorrow in Detroit. At worst, the boys go 5-2 on this road trip. That's exactly what I wanted. So I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm all upset, especially when I just had a great time. A great 3 hours watching a very highly entertaining baseball game between two professional baseball teams. One of them good, one of them not so good, but professionals on that not so good team. They're not the White Sox. Royals lose in 11, though. 6-5 the final score. Hunter Renfroe, one of three Royals to collect multiple hits. Renfroe, Vinny, and Paul DeJong. Paul DeJong, three starts as a Royal, four hits, four RBI, and a pair of go-ahead RBIs for Paul DeJong, who tonight hit a two-run shot to put the Royals ahead 3-1 in the seventh. It would remain 3-1 until the ninth, when Hunter Harvey gives up two. We go to extras. Both teams score one in the tenth. Royals score in the top of the 11th, but the Tigers score two off of James MacArthur in the bottom of the 11th. And he suffers his fifth loss of the season. Royals are still 12 games above 500. And the Orioles helped out tonight, beating the Cleveland Guardians 7-4. So the division deficit remains at six games. Let's go back to the phone calls and talk with Jesse in Lee's Summit. Jesse, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to say I have like no problem with how the bullpen has used this game because there's a bunch of new guys. But I just feel like... instead of MacArthur, they maybe go with Will Smith or Zerp in the future. But I don't think there's any reason to get too down on this game because there's a lot of great plays the Tigers made. And that's all I got to say.
Yeah. Yeah, good call. Appreciate it, Jesse. See, that's what I'm looking for. I didn't want to see that guy. I wanted to see this guy or that guy. You didn't want to see James MacArthur in the 11th. Okay. Now, Will Smith hasn't pitched since, what, Thursday? Okay, so he had last night off. Yeah, Will Smith seems plenty rested. Pitched on Thursday and Monday. Yeah, you could have run him back out there. Angel Zerpa threw a dozen pitches yesterday. And prior to that, you got to go back again to Monday. So, yeah, Zerpa, I guess he could have gone back-to-back. And MacArthur was going back-to-back. Okay, that's fair. I see a lot of Angel Zerpa followed by question mark on the text line. Yeah, I guess here would be my question. Listen, Zerpa, fine. Will Smith, fine. I'm not arguing with you. And again, I'm not Matt Quatrero. I'm not the one calling the shots here. I'm the guy watching the game, trying to manage along with the game. I was fine when I saw Sam Long in the seventh, Urseg in the eighth, Harvey in the ninth. Honestly, I was pleased when I saw Bubic in the 10th. I thought MacArthur might get that ball. Because again, it's all about leverage. It's all about dissecting the message from the coaching staff. When you bring in Urseg for the heart of the Detroit lineup, you're telling me he's my number one. Now, we could debate of who's number two. Is it Harvey? Is it Sam Long? No. Sam Long comes into that game in the bottom of the sixth inning. A 1-1 game. Man on with two outs, and Sam Long needs only one pitch to get Parker Meadows to ground out and end the threat. He goes back out in the seventh and retires the side on 14 pitches. So, okay, but you know what? Harvey had the opportunity to save the game. That's this coaching staff telling you he's our number two option. I thought because they continued to give James MacArthur that ninth inning prior to the arrival of Urseg and Harvey, I thought they would stick with their guy. I thought they would stick with MacArthur and give him the 10th. No. Bubich has leapfrogged him. And now I'm wondering, tomorrow, moving forward, who else leapfrogged James MacArthur? Does Chris Bubich, does Sam Long now leapfrog Hunter Harvey? We've got 50 games to go. I've said it countless times over my 12 years, only 12 years in Kansas City. Just playing, buddy. That a manager's real job from the beginning of spring training until the end of August. The only things I ask of a manager is maintain a quality clubhouse, a cohesive clubhouse where guys are all pulling on the same end of the rope. Maintain a cohesive clubhouse and don't tax your bullpen. I think Q's done an outstanding job of that. But come September, I need you to know every single guy inside that clubhouse, what they can handle, what they cannot handle. Daytime, nighttime, road game, home game, I need you to know everything about them. What's going on in their home? How they're feeling that day? I need you to hit all the right buttons because you've now had 5 months of experimenting with MacArthur and others. Now, as I say that, yes, a short time with Urseg, with Harvey, even with a Sam Long and a Chris Bubich. But come September, those buttons need to be hit properly on a nightly basis. So, 50 games to go. We're at the 3rd of August. Let's see how the maneuvering is moving forward because we're getting to a place soon where feelings don't matter. Getting to a place soon where you might have to tell a guy that you respect, that means a lot to the team, that we ain't got a spot for you because we have bigger goals, higher aspirations. And we got to part with you, buddy. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Rick in Olathe. Rick, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals fall in 11 innings, 6-5.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking the call. You know me. I'm the guy that finally ran Hernandez out of town because they had a 5-point earned run average. And yeah. I want to visit with you. I do disagree with you a little bit about MacArthur. Yeah, he was in last night in a game that was 9-2 or 9-1 or whatever it was, and he doesn't seem to have a problem in closing down games. They're hitting him not a little bit. They're hitting him hard. And he's putting it right in the middle. Now, I don't know the answer, but I'm saying this. I believe, wasn't he designated for assignment last year? And now we
correct.
Have him
yes.
as our closer?
Yes.
Now, tell me, in this world, how that could make any sense. Now, let's compare it with Smith. We went out and paid a lot of money to bring Smith in here.
Not really. It was a one-year deal, you know, a $5 million deal, so not a lot.
Okay. Whatever it was, it's more than MacArthur makes.
Correct.
And Smith, hasn't he been on three straight World Series teams?
Yes, sir.
All right. Who do you want in? Do you want in a Smith, who's a proven commodity, or a guy that's been on designated for assignment? And if Q keeps saying that MacArthur is his man, we are in trouble because that guy needs to not be in that position. And you said this team needs to make decisions at the end. Well, you know what? They just made a hard decision on Marsh. You know, Marsh had been pretty darn good, and they sent him down. it is time to get that MacArthur to slop up time is what he needs to be, because he is just batting practice. And that's all I got to say. I love everything you do and the work that you do, but Smith has the experience. Let's let him fail a little bit rather than MacArthur.
That's a great call. Listen, I'm not going to fight you on that, Rick. You make great points. And you look at Will Smith's numbers for the past 3 months, it's a sub-2 ERA. You're right. Listen, yeah. You want to say Will Smith's higher on the totem pole. I mentioned that earlier. I'm not going to fight you on that. Now, to me, the bottom two spots in that bullpen for a while have belonged to Smith and Stratton. But, yeah, to me, MacArthur's down there with Chris Stratton. And MacArthur is getting tagged. Parker Meadows hit that triple off of him 110 miles per hour. That was a slider in the nitro zone to a lefty. You know, down and into lefties, you can picture Ken Griffey Jr. hitting that home run. I mean, that slider was spinning in the nitro zone for Parker Meadows. And then the game-winning single, he's trying to bury that thing into the lefty. That sinker, and it drifts over the plate, down and into the lefty, into the nitro zone again. 103 miles per hour off the bat. And Wenzel Perez crushed that thing to the wall in right field. Hunter Renfro made a valiant effort after it, but yeah, just brutalized that. Again, the stuff is there, 96. But that command was awful. That pitch needs to be in off the plate. Get him to foul that thing off of his shin. It drifts back into the nitro zone, and the Royals lose. Now, the only thing I would disagree with Rick about, because I'm with him across the board, especially with the Alec Marsh point. I understand things can move quickly in the mind of Alec Marsh, that he can at times beat himself up a little bit too much. I also understand that you want to keep him as an option just in case something happens to this rotation. Lugo, Singer, Lorenzen, Bragans, a lot of these guys are getting close to career highs in innings pitched, Marsh included, sure. But if an injury was to befall this rotation, Alec Marsh, you're back. So listen, you don't want to fully commit to him being a reliever. I can get that. But you've done that with Chris Bubich. So why let me put it this way. I don't believe that Alec Marsh's confidence was shook. I'm really starting to question whether or not James MacArthur's confidence is shook. Now, he could still believe that he's a good pitcher, but when he's out there on the mound fighting for his life, he's not throwing anything with conviction. Not throwing anything with the type of confidence you need to be picking up big innings for a good team down the stretch. So if he needs to go to Omaha to get his mind right, man, I'll sign off on that. But you make great points. The only thing I disagree about is, to me, the fact that you claimed James MacArthur and turned him into a viable reliever is a quality testament to this organization and something that we need to see more often. Just because the Phillies said, we can't use you, the Dodgers once said, we can't use Scott Barlow. Scott Barlow was a very good reliever, at times a great reliever for the Royals. So I'm with you across the board, Rick, except for the fact that because MacArthur was DFA'd, that means he can't pitch big innings. Now, Royals need to find an arm like that almost every single year if they're going to be contending on a consistent basis. Let's go to Vicky and Shawnee. Vicky, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals fall in 11 innings. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I have to say this. This is September, Vern. And we should treat every game right now as it's in September, because we can't afford to lose even one game, and we would have never lost tonight.
Well, you're going to lose a game, I'll tell you that right now.
If he had not put Long in. The guy before Long would have saved the game. It would have never went to the 10th inning. And
the guy before Long, what are you talking about? The guy before Long was Michael Lorenzen, the starting pitcher.
Right! He got him out real fast! Why didn't he keep him in there? Why did he put Long in?
Oh, you're saying leave Lorenzen in to finish the sixth inning. Okay. Okay. All right, I apologize.
What's wrong with that manager, why he made that play? We cannot afford to lose one game because this is September, and we should treat every game today as if it were September, because our butts are on the line for this playoff. And I'm so passionate about this stuff. I really hope that this manager doesn't make any more bad moves.
Okay.
We can't afford it.
All right. We got you down, Vicky. Vicky, I worry about you. I'm being honest with you. 50 games to go. I don't know what you're going to sound like in, you know, game 150. If this is what you sound like after game 110, my word. God love you. Let's go to Mark in Kansas City. Mark, you're next up on the post-game show. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Vern, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. I got a question. Can you explain to me why a guy that retires the side in order in 9 pitches in the 8th, meaning Ursic, with 6 of those pitches being strikes, why can't he come back out for the 9th? And, I mean, you throw that many pitches in warm-ups. He got him out in 9 pitches, 3 outs. That's pretty good. You know what I mean? MacArthur and Harvey have been terrible. The manager knows that by now. Everybody is seeing it. He's trying to force it down your throats. You're down in your last 50 games. You might need these wins. And I'm getting tired of the manager saying, this guy had good stuff. They just happened to be hitting it over the wall or in the gaps. So if you can give me an answer to that first question.
Well, hang on. I don't have the answer. My guess would be Ursic's pitched in 3 of the past 4 games, including tonight, and pitching 2 innings. I don't know if he's done that all year, to be quite honest with you, let alone while pitching 3 times in 4 days. That would be my guess, though. I'm, again, not in charge. I'm also curious of who your top 5 relievers are. Because that's really what this comes down to tonight, right? You're frustrated that the Royals lost. We all are. But your frustration stems from the fact that they didn't go a perfect 5-for-5 in relievers tonight. I'll be honest with you. I would venture to guess that when the Royals use 5 or more relievers, it's about 50-50. I'd guess that's a majority of teams in Major League Baseball, when they use 5 or more relievers in a game, that it's a 50-50 win percentage. It's a coin flip. Royals this season are 12 games above 500 because the starting pitcher is giving you innings, because the Royals' defense outperforms the opposition's defense, while tonight it was a push. Right? I mean, you got to give Detroit some credit in this. It's not always the Royals screwed up. That's why they lost. Right? That diving catch from Parker Meadows saved at least a run in extra innings. Now, Meadows doesn't make that outstanding diving catch. Royals win this game in 10. But again, Lucas Ursig made his Royals debut on Wednesday, throwing 12 pitches. He had Thursday off. He pitched last night, and he pitched again tonight. Last time we saw Lucas Ursig go 2 innings was back in May. Back in May against the Colorado Rockies. Okay, so there you go. Not that long ago. So sure, yeah, throw him back out there. Mark, you I'm not saying you're wrong. Obviously, he's done it this year, so he's capable of going back out there. I'd be curious to see if it was three times in 5 days. Okay, so not the exact same scenario. Not too dissimilar, though. Mark, I appreciate the phone call. It's a fair point. I ain't got an answer for you. Let's go to Big T and Shawnee. Big T, you're on the postgame show as the Royals fall to 12 games above 500. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. First, I just got to say we all love the thrill of victory and hate the agony of defeat. Some of you are not going to make it. And I've been saving this call. I think tonight's the perfect time to talk about it, Vern. So when they left for this road trip, they were 7 games under .500. Now currently 5 under. I know they swept the White Sox. I know it's the White Sox, but it's hard to go in a city. They did it. They took care of business. They won the first two the other night, lost tonight. Wah, everybody. It's still successful. We're dwindling that road record to a positive, everybody. And, Vern, you bring up this riptide that brutal schedule, to all those teams we got to play who are in the hunt. You have 20 games. I have 23. 14 on the road, 9 at home, and that extra 3 is Pittsburgh. Currently, there are 13 teams in the major leagues, everybody, who have a winning record on the road. Kansas City's not one of them. Pittsburgh is, but Kansas City can keep going that way. We can keep improving. Vern, this team is on track. And with that stretch, we have 7 against Cleveland, everybody. If they can improve this road record and finish over 500, they will make the playoffs. And if they can beat Cleveland, they will win their division. In 2014, everybody, we were 47-34, 13 over. You know what happened? We went to the World Series. They were only 3 over at home, though.
Too many numbers, Big T. Too many numbers. What do you got?
Well, 15,
you're throwing too many numbers. Come on.
So what I'm saying, man, it's all going to come down to this road record, Vern. And I don't care if you're old money, new money, fair weather, or bandwagon. We all need you. Jump aboard the train. I'm telling you, it's going to get hairy. It's going to get wild. It won't be for the faint of heart or the weak need. There's no bailing out or sissy exit on this train. And as always, let's go Royals.
Royals on pace to win 90 games after tonight's 6-5 loss. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know when called Jay's Southland Tow. Listen, I know I can get bogged down in minutia from time to time. I understand, and I try my hardest to not throw too many numbers at you because I'm a numbers guy. I'm a numbers nerd, baseball nerd. It goes together perfectly. I don't know what the heck Big T was just talking about. Let's go to Ralph in Kansas City. Ralph, you're next up on the postgame show. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Vern? I'm just here. Obviously, we can't overreact with this stuff. We'll lose a couple games, but this is the stretch of games.
More than a couple. They're going to lose a lot of games.
Yeah.
Vicky's saying they can't lose anymore. You're giving them only 2 losses. They're losing a lot of games.
No, Vern.
Okay. All right.
There's some games that we need to win. I mean, there's some games. We have big series.
It wasn't this one, I'll tell you that.
Obviously, we have a big series against the Red Sox coming up. I mean, we'll have games against big-time contenders, but how many times are we going to blow games that we should be winning? It's just
shooting
ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, that's what a blown loss is. Yeah, right. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I don't know what you're looking for. You know, if you're going to lose, get blown out. Is that what you're saying? Royals have 50 games to go. Personally, I'm hoping that they can go 28-22. I'm hoping that they lose 20 more games, maybe. I mean, I hope they win them all, but I know that they're not going to. And I'll tell you this, I would much rather, of the 20 remaining losses, I would rather the 20 be close losses than to get boat raced 20 times from here on out. Now fight, scratch, claw, because you're better for it. And going back to what Big T said, well, what he was alluding to in my riptide, that is just about 3 weeks away, 20 straight games against playoff teams. Nothing more, nothing less. That Riptide has the power to pull this team down and sink their playoff hopes. But if this still very young team can relax and go with it, they'll make it to shore. They'll make it to October. Shoot. They'll make it through the Riptide. And on the other side, teams that you can feast on going into the playoffs. They're going to lose games. But I want them to become better for it. I don't know what you learn from losing 7-2. I don't know what you learn by getting blown out. Honestly, you have to think that Matt Quatrero and this team learned a lot tonight. Learned about Hunter Harvey. Learned about Chris Bubich and James MacArthur and Lucas Erceg and Sam Long. Learned about Michael Lorenzen, right? Paul DeJong. Freddie Fermin. For as much as Vicky wants this to be September, it's barely August. Let's head back out to Shawnee and talk with Phil. You're next up on the postgame show. Phil, how are you?
I'm good. You covered all of it. The deal with Erceg is he didn't pitch that many. He didn't throw that many pitches in the eighth. I think, look, in 15, he picked up Cueto for a reason because he wanted somebody you could depend on every 5 days. He did okay during the regular season, not great, but he was nails in the playoffs. We picked up Erceg with his stuff to be our closer. He should be the closer. He should be pitching the ninth inning. If you're not going to let him pitch 8 to 9, then he should at least be pitching 9. Then you put Bubich in the eighth and Long in the seventh, and you have what we had back in 15. We have an established order, and that's simply what they need. You start stop screwing around and get an established order. And I know we've only had Erceg for about a week. But if he shows the kind of stuff he showed in the eighth, he should be pitching the ninth. On the other thing, on the Meadows, wasn't there something that told you that ball bounced into his glove? God, you never
the fact that Bobby hit it, and everything's been going good for Bobby, that's what made me think that thing bounced into his glove.
My TV wasn't big enough to tell me you were hoping and praying the darn thing bounced into his glove, because that would have been the game right there.
Yep.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you. Listen, I appreciate you having names and how you would deploy them late in the game. You know, saying anything is as definitive as HDH. You know that, Phil. That's silly. None of these guys have earned anything. I don't believe so. I mean, Sam Long. I don't know. Yeah, listen. To me, this has always been a matchup bullpen from the beginning of spring training. You hope Lucas Erceg changes that. You hope Hunter Harvey changes that. And maybe Lucas Erceg has. You know, maybe you say, and you just did, he's the ninth inning, give it to him every single time. I don't care who's coming up, he gets the ninth. Okay. Well, now you said, what, Long and Bubich would be your seventh and eighth? Okay, so you at least have names. But to me, the way that I look at it, Bubich hasn't earned that. Long hasn't earned that. The seventh, eighth inning stuff, these guys have not pitched well enough or consistent enough this season to automatically get the ball regardless of the matchup, regardless of who's standing in that batter's box. Herrera, Davis, Holland. I mean, honestly, that didn't really take form until the second half of 2014. Now, I know they were there early in 2014, but they weren't HDH. They became that over the course of 2014, but that was over the course of months. Erceg's been here a minute. Sam Long's been here a few months. Harvey just got here. Bubich just got back. I'm just hesitant to award anyone a specific inning. Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We go to Big Pete in Kansas City. Big Pete, nice to hear from you again. How you doing?
Hey, Josh. Good to talk as always. Obviously, a lot of sour calls tonight. You know, I think taking perspective of where we are is always healthy. And the way I've started looking about this baseball season is like a round of golf. You know, are we under par or are we over par? And right now we're 12 under par. Last year we were 40 over par. You're always going to have the time where you're going to hit the 300-yard drive and then shank the ball into the woods. And it's about putting it together. And right now we're putting it together. But every hole is a different hole. Every game is a different game. I threaten to cancel Bally Sports once a week, but I still pay for it because they keep me coming back. And I think that's the attitude we need to maintain as Royals fans through the stretch here. And hope it works out well, but if not, we still got Bobby for another 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, and, you know, life is pretty good as a Royals fan.
Big Pete, always nice hearing from you. Royals have homered in 9 straight games. Tonight it was Paul DeJong belting a 2-run blast to put the boys ahead in the 7th. 3-1 Kansas City after 7, after 8, but Hunter Harvey gives up a pair in the 9th. We go to extras. Each team scores one in the 10th. Hunter Renfroe drives in a run for the Royals to put him ahead in the 11th, but James MacArthur gives 2 back and gives Detroit the win. 6-5 the final score. We get back to your phone calls after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
2-2. Swung on and asked for it, and you shall receive. Swung on and belted deep left field. That ball is gone. A 2-run smash for Paul DeJong. His first homer as a Royal gives Casey the lead here in Detroit.
Brian Haney on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio, as he fills in for Jake Eisenberg. Paul DeJong puts the Royals ahead 108 miles per hour off the bat. Boy, oh boy, just a hanging split finger in the middle of the dish, and he puts a beautiful swing on it. Home run number 19 on the season. First as a member of the Royals. And really, until Hunter Harvey did what he did in the 9th, this was shaping up to be a J.J. Piccolo appreciation postgame show, because Michael Lorenzen, by the way, no one's really mentioned him, my fault, first and foremost. Michael Lorenzen makes his Royals debut in ho-hum 5 2/3 innings of 1-run baseball. And then Paul DeJong, the other trade deadline acquisition, he hits a 2-run home run to put the Royals ahead. Lucas Ersig, a 1-2-3 9-pitch 8th inning, another one of the trade deadline acquisitions. He maintains that 2-run lead and turns it over to the other trade deadline acquisition. And sadly, Hunter Harvey was, well, not good. As he got tagged, James MacArthur got tagged, and the Royals suffer a 6-5 extra innings loss, their second 11-inning game of the season. Despite the loss, the Royals' run differential sits at plus 94, second best in baseball. Only the Yankees have a higher run differential than this Royals team that so many of you are so very disappointed in. Let's go to Jacob in Virginia. Jacob, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, I really like you, but you don't have 40 years of experience in the Kansas City sports, so I'm going to need you to move along, okay?
I know. I don't have anywhere else to go, though, Jacob. That's the problem.
Fair enough. Hey, listen, you talked about the run differential, but I didn't even realize the Red Sox lost tonight. So the Royals still have a multi-game lead over them in the wild card. So that's got to count for something, right?
Heck yeah. I don't know if you know where I stand, but I'm not even looking at the wild card until I wave the white flag on the division. So I appreciate the update. I was unaware.
There you go. Smart man. But yeah, we're missing the real story here, Vern. The beat the streak game on MLB.com is about to get beat. You keep tabs on that?
Years ago, I did. I'm a nerd, and I fixate on things, so that can dominate my life. So I had to just let it go.
Well, hey, there's a guy sitting at 49, Vern, so it's not too late for you to hop in.
Wow. Unbelievable. Know, right? Unbelievable.
But hey, honestly, Vern, it's this is shower it off, move on to Sunday, go for a series win, come back to Kauffman, and hope for the best, right?
No doubt.
Hey, thanks.
Nice to hear from you, Jacob.
Good evening.
Yeah, you do the same, buddy. Always, you always make the show better. I appreciate it. Royals lose. They're now 62-50. Thanks for the wild card update. Hunter Renfroe, I mentioned his RBI in the 11th inning. Hunter Renfroe now has a 9-game hitting streak, a 15-game on-base streak, and since the start of May, his OPS is .836. Phone line open for you right now. Grab it, 913-586-7610. Man, you guys are hilarious sometimes. Text line, you're always funny. You're always funny. I could read some really funny text right now. Let's just read the good ones, though, or at least the ones that have a name attached to them. Terry and Leewood. Tonight's bullpen performance demonstrates why the Royals are going nowhere this season, sorry to say. Oh, damn. All right, well. Terry from Leewood checking in. Not feeling good after this one. Heather writes in. Heather's in Mexico, Missouri. She says, started watching baseball in 2014, and I'm glad you hung up on Jake. Heather, I appreciate the kind words in that text. Yeah, if you missed Jake earlier, Jake's mad at me now. Jake, call back tomorrow, bud. Hope I get to hear from you tomorrow. He says I keep hanging up on him. You guys understand I'm not in control of who gets hung up on. That's back at the studio. Okay? But if you want me to be the bad guy, I'll be the bad guy. I got no problem with that. People are saying I'm being mean to Vicky. I was mean to Jake. Everybody in their feelings after a loss. Toughen up, Buttercup. Good God. Matt in Arizona writes in. Vern, I was thinking about giving J.J. Piccolo some love after that eighth inning since the new acquisitions had, you know, a really good start. But then a rough one for Hunter Harvey. Vern, seems like a lot of good closers have blown saves in the last couple weeks. Better outings are ahead for Hunter Harvey and Michael Lorenzen and Lucas Ersig and Paul DeJong. Those guys were great tonight. Save Harvey. Let's win the series tomorrow, signed Matt in Arizona. Now, it's still a good night if you're, well, they lost. I guess I can't say it's a good night if you're J.J. Piccolo. Maybe that should have been the question I asked to start the show. Now, was this a good night for J.J. Piccolo? That's a really good question, Matt. Because the team lost. They had a chance to gain ground on Cleveland, right? You're beating, you're playing a Detroit team that is on the outside looking in, that has traded away players. Cleveland's banging heads with one of the best teams in the sport, in the Orioles. Orioles finally help out, and the Royals unable to do their part. Royals win 5 in a row, Guardians win 5 in a row. Royals lose, Guardians lose. And yeah, Hunter Harvey had a rough go, but Lorenzen, DeJong, Ersig. Oh, what Jacob just mentioned about the Red Sox. I think tonight was still a good night if you're J.J. Piccolo. Team's 12 games above 500. Michael Wacha on the bump tomorrow. Yeah, good night. Disappointed with the loss, but I think J.J. sleeps soundly tonight. Connor in Prairie Village writes in. Vern, Harvey exited a previous game. Do you think he's still rattled? Also, what's happened to Mike Hell's base stealing? Well, Mike Hell wasn't in the starting lineup. He went 0-for-2 coming in for Michael Massey in the eighth inning. Mike Hell's ripped quite a few bags, as a matter of fact. He had two back on Thursday, another on Wednesday. Three stolen bases in his last three starts. So, yeah, the stolen bases are there. Do I think Hunter Harvey is rattled? Well, I think what you're talking about is when he left the game because of the back spasm. Maybe that had something to do with tonight. Maybe we'll find out that Hunter Harvey's dealing with something. Maybe. Because you look at those, you look at that ninth inning, he got ahead of Madrese, but then, I mean, even if you go back and look pitch by pitch, he wasn't fooling anybody. It was, here it is, fastball, fastball, splitter. They're all in the middle of the dish, and Madrese caught up to the third one. Fastball was up in the zone to McKinstry. And the pitch was down to Baez. But, you know, Baez is always looking to do damage. Yeah, maybe that has something to do with it. I can't tell you for certain, though, Connor. That's a fair observation, no doubt. Gabe in Independence writes in, Vern, James MacArthur has blown six games. I'm not saying that you need to DFA him. But now isn't the time. Tonight wasn't the night to try and give him his confidence back. Okay, that's fine, Gabe. I just want a name. Who did you want in the 11th? Will Smith, we've heard that. That's fair. You wanted Bubic to come back out for the 11th? Okay, I'll push back on that one. You know, Will Smith, you want to say him, you want to say Angel Zerpa, I'm not going to fight you. Bubic going another inning, Urseg going another inning, I ain't buying it. Hey, either way, that'll do it for us. We're out of here. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 11:30. Royals looking to take the series in Motown. They lose tonight, 6-5. Quinn Morris, great job back there, buddy. Appreciate your help. Kansas City, thanks for listening. Take care. Enjoy your Saturday.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase 1 of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star Ballot is open. Vote up to 5 times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit Game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.